Gretchen and Lori and Mike are here, respective staffs. It's a joint plan, I'll remind you. Nancy.
Thanks, John. Is it okay for me to respond just quickly?
All right, before you do, this is it. Okay. We don't have the background, the technical expertise, right, or anything else. What I'm hearing today, and I've continued to hear, is there appears to be a breakdown in communication, and there's a difference of opinion. And I said earlier today, I'm going to go down to Woods Hole. I'm going to talk to the trawl survey panel, and I'm going to go down to Woods Hole and have a more in-depth discussion so I can figure out what's going on. Because we can sit here all day and point fingers back and forth, and it's going to get nasty. That's not what we need at this table. We need facts. We can't react on he said, she said. We can't make decisions on he said and she said. So feel free to respond this one time, but that's my intention.
Oh, no. All I wanted to do is say that I think we're all on the same page in terms of what the goal is, and the goal is to do the best science possible. Unfortunately, we have to provide the best information available. But the goal is to provide the best science that we possibly can. And I think we're all on the same page relative to that. And I think that we do need to take advantage of opportunities to communicate more. And that's my view, is that we need to over-communicate, obviously, on this issue. And we welcome any opportunity to come to the council and present.
Thank you. Frank?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Dogfish Committee met on October 17th to review the recommendations of the Dogfish Monitoring Committee. The committee, I believe there was only three members present, so it wasn't a very big committee. The council met the following day to go over the recommendations from the committee. There are four committee motions that I'll be making, but before we get to that, Jim Armstrong is here from the MID, and he's going to give us a presentation, and then after that we'll take it up.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me here, I guess. I'll try to keep this as quick as possible. This is the agenda screen that I had up for our council. I'm not presuming to dictate your agenda to you, but sort of tells you how I'm going to go. I'll start with an update of the stock status and then go over the monitoring committee recommendations. I have the Joint Committee recommendations available up on the screen, but I think Mr. Blount will probably go through that and then, discussion, and we'll need an action item from you for management measures for at least, we don't. We have, we're in a multi-year management measure period, and you could possibly choose not to take any action, but I'm assuming that's not going to happen. So the action item, if you would choose to do it, would be for next fishing year, and could be for as many as the next five fishing years. All right, just a little history. The status of the spiny dogfish stock is determined by the catch of mature females in the spring trawl survey. 2 years ago, this is pretty much what the trend looked like. You see in a peak in female spawning stock greater than 60 centimeters in the early 90s, and then a decline during the occurrence of the domestic fishery, and leaving us in 2005 with a sort of downward-pointing trend. There's a green and a red line there, and the and then there's a blue line on there that's, as you can see, there. In any individual year, there's a great deal of variability, from year to year, there's a great deal of variability in the biomass estimate from the spring survey. So in order to sort of maintain a little bit of biological reality, that smoothing exercise is done. And so that's what that blue line represents. So a couple of years ago, things, according to the trawl survey, didn't look too good. We were well below the biomass threshold, which is the lower of the lines, the red line, around 100,000 metric tons. Then following year, we had a fivefold increase in the single-year biomass estimate. That allowed the smooth estimate of biomass to pull up above the overfished mark for the first time in a long while. And then the latest spring survey data that is available is from this year. And although it wasn't as high as the previous year, it still was enough to bring the smooth estimate of biomass up to about 141,000 metric tons. So we're getting pretty close to the biomass target, or we would be if we had one. More on that later. As the chairman indicated, you're under tab 14, and one of the documents that's in there is an update of stock status that was produced by the Science Center. If you've reviewed that, you'll see some numbers in there, and basically what's used there is a three-year moving average of biomass. But what the peer-reviewed process has accepted is a stochastic estimator of spawning stock biomass. And so if we look at the spawning stock biomass from a couple years ago, that's 2004. It's not a mistake, even though I showed the trawl survey going from 05, 06, and 07. Because it's smoothed, it's informed by years prior to and following. So when the 07 spring trawl survey is going to give you information that will, you know, be used to estimate biomass in 06. Okay, so we don't have an 07 biomass estimate. Anyway, the stochastic estimate basically allows for the uncertainty in the trawl footprint. So it ends up with a difference of the 155,800 metric ton number that's in the document you were provided with down to 141,350. But it's so anyway, that's what's used to measure against the spawning biomass threshold and nominal target. The last time the target doesn't exist in the FMP. It wasn't approved. A 180,000 metric ton target was sent in, and that was 90% of the 200,000 metric ton target that was approved by both councils' SSCs. So that part was rejected. We don't have an official target in the FMP. The last time the SARC reviewed the assessment, it accepted a 190,000 metric ton target. So relative to that, the stock is below the target, but it is, more importantly, it's above the threshold, the 100,000 metric ton threshold. So the stock is not overfished. In terms of landings and discards in 06, there are multiple sources, of course, commercial landings, given in both metric and English units. Canadian commercial landings are accounted for in calculation of fishing mortality. Commercial discards are, as you can see, relatively important, and recreational removals are also not negligible. So we had total removals in 06 of about 20.2 million pounds of spiny dogfish. That led to a fishing mortality rate that was 0.11. The fishing mortality rate target that is consistent with the current rebuilding plan is 0.11, so right on the money. And in terms of whether overfishing is occurring, the F threshold is 0.39, so 0.11 is less than 0.39. Overfishing is not occurring. So the Reader's Digest version, not overfished, overfishing's not occurring. Of course, the devil's in the details. The last 11 years include 9 of the lowest catches, survey catches of pups. What that has led to is a these small cohorts have contributed relatively little to the growth of the stock, and you can see this downward trend in the immature female stock is what's going to be feeding into the mature female stock, which is what the rebuilding plan is trying to recover. Here's a a snapshot of the history of the stock. This is female size composition from prior to the development of the domestic fishery to current. And as you can see at the top, we've got on the x-axis lengths and then time going down. So you see a number of large fish over here on the right side and quite a few small fish on the left side. As the fishery depleted the larger large fish, which of course are mature females, then the abundance here of the length in the length composition on the right side diminished, about 200,000 metric tons of mature females removed from the stock. The ability of the stock to produce pups then was greatly reduced, so you don't have any backfill on the left-hand side of the stock. So that sort of creates a hole in the spawning stock, and that has implications on the long-term recovery. Here's a figure that was taken from the last peer-reviewed assessment. That's SALT 43 in from last year. And basically, this each of these curves is a projection, a long-term projection of spawning stock biomass under different fishing mortality scenarios. What each one has in common is a sort of an undulating pattern. So you see in the short term an increase in biomass, and then as those small year classes come in, we have a decrease in biomass, and then as assumed recruitment is fed into the projection, you have an increase in every case. Now, the according to the FMP, the charge of the monitoring committee, joint committee, and councils is to recommend recommend a commercial quota and possibly other management measures to assure that target F in the appropriate year, i.e. next year, will not be exceeded. In this case, target F is 0.11 because we're still in the rebuilding phase. So in order to we recall that the landings of commercial landings of dogfish were about 5.2 million pounds. The monitoring committee, expecting biomass to increase, reviewed a number of quota scenarios to evaluate whether they would, you know, exceed target F or not. So those scenarios included status quo, removal, 6 million pound quota, and an 8 million pound quota. There were no larger scenarios that were examined because once we got to 8, we were already over the target. So no need to look at those. Anyway, there were assumptions that had to be made about other sources of removals, whether they were going to remain constant or increase in proportion to landings. So we see here commercial landings for 06, 5.2 million pounds. That would have been the status quo. Then in white, we have the other sources of removals. And then the point is to come up with something at the bottom, the total, that achieves the F target. So we're not just coming up with a quota. We're coming up with total removals that achieve that F target. So the projections, results of the projections are here. You have, again, the target F is 0.11, status quo in 08, the 5.2 million pounds would have giving you a roughly 0.11, but, you know, carry it out to probably an unrealistic level of precision, and it's less than 0.11. If there were, the fishery was shut down altogether, F would drop to about 0.08. At a 6 million pound quota and all other removals remaining the same, F came out to about 0.113, and everything else was above that. If other removals increased, or if the quota was increased to 8 million pounds under the other two scenarios, F was 0.125 and 0.131. But you'll also notice there's not a huge range there in the mortality rates. If we look at those other sources of mortalities, you know, which one do we pick? Do we assume constant, or do we consider other sources to perhaps be increasing or changing proportionally with landings? If we look at a long-term or recent trend, we basically don't find one. You can look in the last 3 years at discards. This line that I'm kind of got the cursor arrow on that right now, there appears to be a decrease in discards, commercial discards. But if you go to 1 year before that, the trend disappears. So basically, the monitoring committee could find no basis to support either an increase or a decrease, and accepted the scenario with the assumed constant other removals. There was discussion about possible changes in effort having to do with your framework 42 and some of the implications on of that. Okay, so the monitoring committee eventually converged on a recommendation of a 6 million pound quota, assuming that other removals will be constant, and rounding, you get that to the target F of 0.11. Here's just to take all those scenarios, the projection scenario that you get. You can see all of them agree pretty much completely in a very short term. Then you have the effect of those small year classes coming in, and then you have the increase. An important part would, or something worth noting, I suppose, would be that the difference in any of those scenarios in the long term recovery time period is negligible. Okay, another option available under the FMP, according to Framework 1, is to specify measures for more than 1 year. The monitoring committee recommended 3-year management measures, I think, basically because I'm the chairman and they wanted to convince them to try to make my life easier. It doesn't cost anybody anything if we specify it for 3 years. We're in a multi-year specification mode right now, and we're considering changing it. So anyway, that's what the monitoring committee recommended. Trip limits are an important part of the management atmosphere as well. But the monitoring committee could not reach consensus on trip limits. We agreed, however, there was no direct link in trip limits to target F. In other words, status quo trip limits are 600 pounds. The ASMFC's trip limits are 3,000 pounds. You cannot, equate any of those to the target F. However, there was a general agreement on the committee that it makes sense for the federal and state regulations to be consistent. Other members brought up that it was basically an allocation issue, that it was the quota, not the trip limits, that made the difference. So we discussed for quite a while a range from 600 to 3,000 pounds. 600 pounds, it was brought up in the discussion, or likely to discourage landings in general, and a sort of logical thought process from there means, well, maybe that's means it's less likely to achieve the quota, and under and that could possibly make it less likely to exceed target F. 3,000 pounds, however, were not likely to result in the development of a widespread directed fishery. They're consistent with state regs, which has some advantages, and there was no meaningful biological cost. Okay, so in summary, the monitoring committee's recommendations were 6 million pounds for fishing year 2008 through 2010, with no recommendation from on the trip limits. I know, Mr. Blount, you've got the joint committee's recommendations. I'll just, if I could just skip ahead and mention what the Mid-Atlantic Council's, is that all right? Anyway, here it is on the screen, too late. 8 million pounds, no multi-year specs, just fishing year 2008, trip limits of 600 pounds, and then there's some other stuff that I can bring up. There was a recommendation to develop framework two. As I mentioned, we don't have a biomass target. We've recently passed framework seven for summer flounder, scup, and black sea bass, and we think we have a very that established a expeditious method for incorporating into that or any FMP biological reference points that essentially follow the latest peer-reviewed recommendations. Additionally, the Mid-Atlantic Council recommended development of Framework 3 or Amendment 1. We're not sure which one it's going to be because we're awaiting advice from legal counsel on that. That was to explore the development of a male dogfish or the ability through the FMP to allocate quota for male landings of male dogfish. And that's about it for me. And okay. Thank you. Would you like me to answer questions now, or
you're all set? Questions? Dr. Jim.
Yeah, I just want to clarify one thing that Jim said. I think he corrected it at the end, but it was just a word choice during the presentation that he said that the SARC was using 190,000 metric tons as a biomass target and implied that that was something that they came up with or accepted. And in fact, there was no biomass target that was accepted before the meeting, during the meeting, or after the meeting. That was not something that they did. And there, in fact, were a number of values out there that the ASMFC and both councils wrestled with what the biomass target should be. And in the end, nothing has been accepted. So I just wanted to clarify that the SARC didn't come up with 190,000 metric tons as an official value. And Jim made it clear at the end of his talk that there is no biomass target. And, of course, it's important for the councils to work on that, to establish it, since the stock is increasing, and people are going to clearly want to know whether it's there or not.
Rip.
Thank you. In the slide that showed wreck removals, where does that number come from? It looks like it's a very extremely constant number. I was wondering whether it was an assumed number. And I don't believe there's much of a directed fishery in the recreational fishery. And one would think that as the population has increased, that you would have some kind of increase in the interaction between recreational fishermen and dogfish. And I guess sort of on top of that is if it's not an assumed number, is that a release mortality assumption? So I threw a bunch of questions there.
I think I can answer all of them. the recreational landings are insignificant. A 20% discard mortality is applied to the type B2 discarded fish, which results in the number that, so the addition of the insignificant landing. So it's almost all the result of discards times, 20%. And, I think that answers it, right?
Jim, I had a question. Based on your comment, you mentioned the SARC did not operate with or endorse 190,000 metric ton rebuilding target. Is that what you said?
That's correct. We in the summary report, we have a discussion that it kind of reviews the different numbers that are out there and which management bodies came up with different numbers. And I think it states that there's no accepted value at this time. And so the SARC had nothing official to deal with during its meeting.
So one of the terms of reference for the SARC wasn't, or was it, to find an appropriate biomass target?
I think that that was on their list of things to do, but it was not done.
So we have a... We have a Mid-Atlantic approved, Mid-Atlantic Council approved biomass target. Is that right? But we don't have, no? Okay.
No. When the FMP was implemented in 2000, the biomass target that was part of the package was 180,000 metric tons. But prior to that, there was a review by both the Council's Science and Statistics Committee. And they agreed that the biomass target, using the data at the time and the assumptions about the trawl footprint, which is actually where a lot of the uncertainty comes in, was around 200,000 pounds. It was actually 214,000 pounds, but kind of rounded it off. But so that would have been accepted if it had been part of the FMP. So that's sort of what's been used as a nominal target. The most recent, and the reason I might have misspoke and confused everyone, as I was looking back, in SAW 37, which was the one, the peer review prior to the last, to SAW 43, there was a recommendation that the biomass target not be changed, and they linked it to a trawl footprint of 0.012 square nautical miles. So using that size trawl footprint, you get SSB max or the biomass target of 190. If you use the largest possible footprint, then you get a lower one, and that's what the commission has. It's 167. If you use 0.01, which is sort of the nominal footprint, you get the 200. But no matter, what you get, everything gets scaled to that. So right now we're at about 75% of the biomass target, whatever that is. If that makes any sense. And I have a figure on the screen because I knew this was going to come up. That during the last, during SAW 43, there was an attempt to refit. This is a Ricker model, a stock recruit model, and you see Ricker, the Ricker curve is a dome-shaped curve, so you have a peak. And I don't know how easy it is to see, but there's a green line on here, and that is the original fit using data from 1968 to 1996. And when in SAW 43, this model was rerun using updated information. Here's all the recruitment down in this area because all those low year classes, and the effect that had on the model fit was to actually inflate the top of that curve into a rather, if you go straight down from the top of that curve, that's where you get your biomass target, okay? So it put it at what was considered to be a biologically unreasonable level. So that's why the peer reviewer said, you know, let's not go with that. Let's go with the last the data set used in the last assessment.
Okay. I guess I'm just a little confused because I'm looking at tab 14, document 1, last paragraph, page 1. And it references blah, 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 the rebuilding target of 200,000 metric tons adopted by the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council. So that's what the document says. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but it does seem to imply that there was an adoption by the Mid-Atlantic Council of a target. I'm not aware that we actually have. Well, let me back up. There's a lot of reference to approaching rebuilt status, and you know, then we're going to tail off, and the stock's going to drop back below this line. But I'm not sure what the line is, and I'm not sure where we actually made the decision to approve a line or a target. Can't find it, Lori.
I remember the discussions vaguely that occurred during the development of the Dogfish Plan. And at that time, if I recall, the Mid-Atlantic Council did approve 200,000. The New England Council did not. And so in an effort to try to reach agreement to move the plan forward and submit it, we somehow, and I don't remember exactly how we got there, but we somehow got to 180 as an agreed upon biomass target, which we submitted as part of the plan. That was not approved by the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is how we're left with no official biomass target. And then at some point during that process, the SSCs had met and had recommended the 190. Did they recommend 200? The SSCs had recommended 200. The 190 came out of the stock assessment. But the bottom line is the action hasn't been taken to actually formally implement the biomass target as part of the joint plan because what was finally agreed upon by the two councils and submitted was not approved. So the number, the official number is not out, is not in place as part of the plan yet, but according to the last stock assessment where we had a number that the stock assessment recommended, it was 190, correct? So it's somewhere around there.
That's not very comforting, to be honest with you. Gene, can we have a plan without a biomass target? I mean, can we have, if we're in a rebuilding plan, don't we have to have an endpoint?
Yes.
We do. Okay. I thought so.
I mean, I don't know if that's what's being proposed.
Pat?
The plan as it stands right now is out of compliance with the Act. What we said to the council is, to the Mid-Atlantic Council, is the next amendment that goes through the process has to include a fix to this deficiency, has to rectify the deficiency. But there haven't been any amendments, so this is how we've gotten this far.
Is it possible that Dogfish could fall into the classification of data poor?
No.
Are you asking me if it's possible to put it on the list so that we would take another look at it, as opposed to what more would we get out of it if we did that at this point? I'm not sure why you're asking.
There seems to be some uncertainty, and if you look at the variability in year-to-year trawl survey numbers, the lack of resolution on the pups. Those types of issues seem to be driving the management of the resource, even though we don't have a particular endpoint that we're driving to. So that's more of an open-ended question. I know there's a lot of people want to talk. Paul Howard, then Dave Pierce.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Jim and Nancy, it's quite distressing that we have a esteemed body meet to provide the best available science, and we have a term of reference to give us the biological reference points, which are the foundation of how we start our work and manage fisheries. And we get letters from Bill Hogarth that say, listen, if you're not rebuilt, we're going to shut fisheries down. And we don't have that number of where we have to rebuild to. And we're making management decisions not knowing how far we have to be rebuilt. And then I think it's going to come back on the council to do something that this group of esteemed scientists doing an assessment couldn't do. And most of our PDTs have one biologist that works for the science center and maybe one state rep or something. So I'm quite concerned that we're not getting the terms of reference addressed properly at the SAR-SARC, it appears, at this point. And this is something that Dogfish has been going on for 5-6 years without a reference point. And how many assessments without addressing a term of reference? So please note my concern that the science, we should be getting the best available science from this process, and I'm concerned we're not.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, regarding the rebuilding targets, I was, of course, immersed in those discussions years ago. Fell in love with Dogfish at that time, of course. Got my reputation at that time, of course. Spent a lot of time with Paul Rego. I mean, Paul Rego was great in terms of helping me understand how the numbers were calculated, the biomass target specifically, you know, the plot of stock versus recruitment, you know, what did it all mean, what's the basis for it. So I kind of schooled under Paul Rego, and I got a great appreciation for the intricacies and the assumptions that had to be made in putting together the stock recruitment curve and the dome curve that you saw there. The data that are in that plot are not real data. They're two-year moving averages of recruitment plotted against three-year moving averages of spawning stock biomass, and then the curve is plotted to those data. If you look at the actual data, there's absolutely no relationship. But obviously, something had to be done, and Paul got creative, to his credit, and he came up with a strategy. So whether it's 170, 180, 190, 200, 210, 220, I really don't care. All I know is we're rebuilding. They were rebuilding in a rather dramatic way regarding the large female biomass, and the updated assessment that's provided to us provides us with some optimistic projections that it's likely, I think those are the words they use, very likely that we'll be at 200,000 metric tons of the large females in 1 or 2 years. So we're getting there. I'm looking forward to the continued discussion as we move forward with the eventual calculation and acceptance of a biomass reference point. I'm looking forward to those discussions because I miss those discussions. They were so fascinating. It'll be a nice return to the past because, frankly, the past is going to be the future since nothing much has changed in terms of what we know about dogfish. It's a swept area biomass estimate. My biggest concern, of course, is the fact that now we're switching to the Bigelow, new nets, et cetera, et cetera. You know, not getting into all the details, we're going to have to know the footprint of the trawl precisely, similar to the preciseness of the calculation of the footprint with the albatross. That's going to be one of the key elements of all of this, make sure that that net tends bottom properly and that we know the square area that's been swept by that particular net. So with that said, I'll just highlight one other thing, and that is ASMFC has the biomass target of 167,000 metric tons. They use the scale version. But then again, that scale version has to then, as indicated by Jim, reference scaled data regarding the biomass levels for each year. We're not looking at that scale data now. We're looking at data unscaled. So for all practical purposes, we may as well look at the 200,000 metric tons or 190,000 metric tons and go from there. I would be concerned about the biomass target if the status of the stock information was pessimistic. because then we'll be driven by a target that we'll have difficulty achieving. But we're going to achieve it very soon. We might dip down a little bit, but then we're going to come back up again and hit that target by the timetable that's established in the plan. And I believe the center scientist, was it Kathy Sosby? I forget who did this, but one of the center scientists indicated that with 8 million pounds, you know, we'll be at our biomass target of 200,000 metric tons according to schedule. So, as I said, Mr. Chairman, I'm not concerned about what the target is now. That'll all shake out.
Anyone else on the council? Dave Gaethel, then Jim Weinberg.
Yeah, I've... two or three questions here. The first one is this when the monitoring committee meets, do they do any ecosystem considerations at all, or is this still strictly a single species management issue?
Single species.
Okay. Now it's both reports here state that they haven't found many pups. Whether you believe that or not, I mean, I've seen them in places I've never seen them in my life, but let's just assume that we agree with it. So there's no discussion of carrying capacity and the fact that perhaps, you know, when you've just about populated yourself off the earth, that you stop having babies. So there's been no discussion of the reason why there might not be any pups for the last 10 years.
Only within the sort of single species context of this is the fourth time I've made this presentation. I'm afraid I'm starting to let a few things slip between the cracks instead of improving each time. The sex ratio is completely distorted compared to what would be, I guess, natural conditions where males would be about 2 to 1 mature males to mature females. Right now, it's anywhere from 4 to 6 to 1. And that's been implicated as one of the possible sources of the lack of successful pup production. But as to exactly how, that's not well understood. It's just one of the things that's out of whack with the stock that we can kind of point to.
Okay, my last question would be, you put up a number, I think it was an F of 0.08, which would be with the fishery completely shut down. Could you go back to that slide possibly? Okay. And that 0.08 is the assumed catch rate, what we actually land now, which we wouldn't land, we just throw back, plus the discard rate times some fraction for each fishery based on what the assumed discard mortality is?
Right. That would be basically the fishing mortality that would result from everything except commercial landings. So it would be commercial discards, the Canadian landings, and then the recreational discards.
Okay, what I was wondering is if anybody's done a calculation of where an equilibrium point would be reached, some kind of a constant harvest strategy, recognizing that we're just, you know, a good percentage of these things they throw back, and all these fisheries are dying with no economic benefit to anybody, except maybe slime eels. Maybe they're doing well. They get something to eat. But is there a way to do a calculation that would come up with a number for a constant harvest strategy that would minimize discards and therefore not increase mortality and still, you know, produce some benefit of doing something with these things other than, you know, getting nice strong shoulders from heaving them over the stern. I'm looking for a different way to do this, that's all. What we're doing just doesn't seem to be working to me, and I'm trying to find a way to not increase mortality and perhaps, you know, do something with more of these fish other than throw them over.
Well,
David, I think Frank is going to bring some motions to the table. One of them is to the MID, I believe, initiated a new action to look at the reference point, or the rebuilding target. And I'd also suggest that, you know, right now we manage MSY. Dogfish is managed just like everything else, maximum sustainable yield. And I think what you're talking about is a policy decision. I'm not sure how it lines up with the law, but you're talking about making a decision to manage the resource in a different way, perhaps, than MSY.
Right, but I'm also asking if this kind of calculation can be done. Do we have enough data to convert our discards and landings and assume mortality into something that could produce a constant harvest strategy that would minimize discards and still not create targeting the fish? That's the question.
Well, that basically characterizes, in a sense, our discussion about the trip limits, because, you know, let's say, you know, you're just going to fish as usual, and trip limits are 600 pounds, and you're going to discard a certain amount of dogfish. If the trip limits increase, but you don't change your fishing practices, you know, then you don't have to throw back as many. The decision to about which to do and is, I mean, we actually had an economist from the Science Center chime in, because one of the things that Paul Rego always goes back to when this sort of stuff comes up is that we really don't know from a biological perspective. I mean, we can entertain theories about, you know, if everything that was going to die anyway was kept, you know, certainly that would benefit the fishery, you know, the participants in the fishery, and not harm the stock. But, you know, when you propose certain policies, then you start then fishery participants will make a cost benefit sort of decision on whether it's worth your time, given the market value, you know, to keep some or not. And so having said all that, there was a preliminary examination of some of the fisheries that might ramp up a little, or there might, for whom there might be a bit of an incentive to maybe do some more directing, and that was small gillnet vessels, because the operation costs are pretty low. So relative to some of the trawl fisheries and the longline fisheries, especially with the cost of bait, there was the decision to start directing on them, you know, was probably greatest in the small gillnet vessel sector. But being able to forecast what the decisions are going to be on the water and how to convert discards to landings, you know, that really pushes the extent to which we can, you know, do anything from a biological perspective. We can only really deal with what's being taken out of the stock. So, it's definitely something that there is a center economist who we've involved from time to time. He's very sympathetic to the low cost, you know, the low value of this fishery and the high cost of doing business on the water. And he did his analyses, and he was pretty confident that a higher trip limit wasn't gonna result in widespread directing, that the fisheries were gonna pretty much on average operate as they have been, but maybe more fish could be kept to offset costs. And but that's about the extent to which the analysis and discussion went.
I'm going to ask that Frank get some motions up on the table. Jim, is it? It's important, Jim. Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to respond to some of the things that Paul Howard said about blaming the SARC, essentially the process for failing. In general, I agree with Paul that when we have terms of reference, that it's really important to do them. But I think that you have to think a minute about the special context that the dogfish assessment was done in when it was done. First of all, this stock at the time the assessment was done was quite low. It was about a quarter of the way to being at the biomass target, which was not defined. So the real concern when this assessment was done was the stock looked like it was going down. And in fact, it was nowhere near the biomass target. So that was not even on people's radar. So some of the other terms of reference seem to be much more important to accomplish at that time. And the other thing is that in terms of the, there was a lot of confusion between the management bodies, the Mid-Atlantic Council, the New England Council, and the ASMFC, who had wrestled with what the biomass target should be. So it seemed that the science, whatever it was at the time, had risen to the level of the management bodies and that they were unable to agree on what a proper biomass target should be. So it really wasn't clear that it was for the scientists to resolve that problem, which had risen above us to the management level. So I do agree with Paul, and we really do try to accomplish all the terms of reference. But I think by putting this into context a little bit, and I forgot to mention that the dogfish was in a rebuilding plan. It was supposed to have been rebuilt by 2005. And that deadline passed, and that really didn't seem to give people a lot of heartburn at the management level. When I gave my presentation after the stock assessment, I clearly said what the results from the science were, and I pointed out that there was no biomass target. And that didn't seem to bother the group very much either. So I think that his criticism was a bit strong, and I think I agree with him in general, but in this particular case, I just felt that I needed to explain where we were coming from. Thanks.
Okay. Frank, motions.
Okay. First motion, it is a committee motion. Karen's got them. I'll start reading it. That the spiny dogfish commercial quota be increased from 4 million pounds to 8 million pounds for the 2008 fishing year. Quota period one be 57.9% of the 8 million pounds or 4,632,000 pounds. Period two will be 42.1% or 3,368,000 pounds. And the quota be for 1 year only. That is a committee motion. It doesn't need a second, if I can. There was an attempt at the committee to split the motion so the specifications could be for more than 1 year. That failed. The comments that were received on the motion, some of them were that it was based on average recruitment, and we haven't seen average recruitment. The service was likely to reduce any increase in the quota, depending on what ASMFC does. But, of course, the service can't say that up front, but it was indicated. It was also recommended it would be hard to justify even the 6 million pounds because it was slightly over. Some of the justification for it being slightly over was that they thought that the recreational landings were a little high and the discord mortality was a little off. And I think that was most of the comments that were received. And Mid-Atlantic Council did approve this motion from the committee.
No council comments on the motion? Any comments? Any questions? Pat?
Why do I always have to be first? Well, I oppose the motion, as I did in the Mid-Atlantic, for all the reasons that Jim outlined and that you're all well aware of. And although we've gotten some good news on this stock, and it's no longer overfished, it is not by any means rebuilt, nor do we really expect it to rebuild for any considerable period of time in the near future, although it's true that we may go over the biomass within the next couple of years. Shortly after that, we expect to be back down to levels below the rebuilt level. So due to the fact that we've had so much overfishing in the past on females, we've still got low levels of female biomass, which has pretty much resulted in 10 years of recruitment failure in this fishery. We've got male-to-female ratios that are skewed. Recommendations, they should be somewhere around 2-to-1. They're up at approximately 4-to-1. And the increases in biomass that we've seen are related to growth in the fishery, not recruitment into the fishery. So individuals of either sex, small individuals of either sex, are in common. The F rate at the 4 million pounds, which we had this past year, was estimated to be approximately the F target or F rebuild level. And the advice from the plan development team is that you should adopt a commercial harvest quota that will assure that the target F will not be exceeded. An F for an 8 million pound quota was known to be in excess of target F. So, as I said, I'm opposed to the motion. This motion doesn't include the trip limits, right? Okay. All right. I'll speak to that next. Thanks.
Is that anyone else in the council? Deacon Dog?
Well, I obviously support the motion. ASMFC has gone with 8 million pounds. The Mid-Atlantic Council wants 8 million pounds. I think the New England Council should go in that direction, too, so we're all on the same page. But, frankly, we don't want to debate this ad nauseum because Pat's in charge. Pat can pick the monitoring committee recommendation if she chooses to do so, and she will. It's going to be 6 million pounds. The dogfish world will be ruled. No, well, then 4 million pounds. 4 million pounds. I mean, so Pat is going to do what Pat needs to do, okay, from the federal perspective. I understand that. So I'm going to continue to just assume that we'll be ruled by ASMFC. That is the 8 million pounds. With the landing limits that have been in place have been in place last year, well, this year, and then next year as well, up to 3,000 pounds. Just a couple of other little points. With regard to the mature female versus male ratio, that's come up a number of times. And frankly, if you look at the figure six in the document, the updated assessment, you see that we're back to the way it was pretty much throughout the 70s and 80s. Yeah, the ratio changed dramatically in the 90s because we did indeed take too many females. There was an encouraged directed fishery on mature females. Dogfish were told, fishermen were told, go forth, catch dogfish because they are a plague. There's a relationship between dogfish and gadids. Too many elasmobranchs means fewer gadids and will never rebuild the groundfish populations. That was the mantra at that time, and I still believe it. But anyways, if you look at that figure, you see that we're back to basically where we were. Up and down, little fluctuation, 4-to-1, 3-to-1. And I'll also highlight what was said by the SARC. And the last SARC that dealt with this issue said that the importance of the sex ratio for successful reproduction of spiny dogfish is unknown. So all I know is the ocean is full of dogs. The biomass is increasing significantly. I'm not relying just on numbers in a document. I'm relying on what fishermen have told us consistently. Trustworthy fishermen, recreational fishermen, commercial fishermen. And I call your attention to this article. You may have all seen it, Going to the Dogs. This is on the saltwatersportsman.com, October 2007. Fascinating how dogfish are indeed a plague in the ocean and making it extremely difficult for commercial fishermen as well as recreational fishermen to do what they love to do within the bounds, of course, that we establish. So I support the motion. 6 million, 8 million, what's the fishing mortality rate with those particular levels of take? You can't even calculate it. Yeah, there are numbers up there, but you really can't calculate it. The biomass is there. We are rebuilding. Let's be consistent with ASMFC and with the Mid-Atlantic Council.
Thank you, Reverend. Anyone else? Dave?
I have to speak to this, just because if I didn't, I'd probably be shot when I get home. This is the number one thing I get calls on. More than heron, more than groundfish, more than everything. Everybody is excised about dogfish. You know, it doesn't matter what fishery you're in, you can't participate in it anymore off New Hampshire in the time that New Hampshire has a fishery. There's nothing but dogfish in the western Gulf of Maine. You have an ecosystem regime shift here that is taking place as these things have just taken over. And you know, that's why I asked the question about single species management. This is the reason we do ecosystem management. Single species, this is a classic case of why it doesn't work. In this case, we've got the dog wagging the tail instead of the tail wagging the dog. It's just plain, you know, incomprehensible to me and to everybody that has anything to do with the ocean that we can be in the position we're in at the moment. We have zero credibility with the public, absolutely zero. You know, and we're sitting here saying, well, we should approve $8 million, which is probably way too low, and we're being told pretty much, well, approve whatever you want because it's going to be four anyway. We're going to look even more ridiculous. We've got to consider the ecosystem ramifications of what we're doing here. And somehow we got to get this population in balance with the rest of the populations of fish in the western Gulf of Maine. Well, there aren't going to be any other fish in the western Gulf of Maine to fish for. And that includes whiting, includes heron, includes cod, it includes everything that competes with an elasmobranch, as David said. So, you know, We can approve this, and it can be rejected, but it's at least a step in the right direction. And I'll probably speak to it further when we get the actual motions for the trip limits and what up there, but thank you.
Jim.
Yeah, no one is disputing the fact that there are a lot of dogfish out there, but I think a key point is the recruitment. The projections that have been done all show that the stock will increase until about 2010. And then under different assumptions about recruitment, the stock will decline. Now, the projections that you saw all assume that recruitment will be average for the stock size that's out there. But in fact, that plot that Jim showed with the Ricker curves on it, that's some data that indicate that actually recruitment isn't likely to be as high as you would predict it would be on average, because all the residuals were below the line for recruitment for a given stock size. So the dispute is not that there are lots of dogfish out there. There clearly are. But the science is telling us that the population, no matter whether we fish or not, the recruitment is the key to what the dynamics will be primarily in the future. And the prediction is that the stock will decline. So that's a key point to remember in terms of, if I know it's hard to think ahead one more than a couple of years when you're making a decision about this year.
Jim Roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of points here in defense of what Mid-Atlantic's choice was. A couple of issues have already been raised. The one regarding the pups, it's become very apparent to those of us that fish in the deeper water that these pups are available in deeper depths than we've ever seen them before at times of the year that the survey doesn't take place. Part of the reason that we wanted to be instrumental in talking about survey design for the new vessel, the Bigelow. By the way, Ms. Thompson, once in a while I can give you good news. 2:35 this afternoon, the Bigelow was southbound under the Newport Bridge. So you better hope the heli can stay out longer than 24 hours. But anyway, I think that's one of the issues. Everything that we've heard about dogfish up until this year was bad. Bad, 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 as far as recruitment and everything. But all of a sudden we've got a spike. Doesn't that tell somebody that recruitment is taking place and somebody doesn't see it? That's what it tells me. I mean, you can't go from having a level recruitment event to a spike in it if it wasn't somewhere and probably not notified, noticed. because the surveys missed them. Science will argue against that. I don't care what science says. I'm with David Gaethel on this. I know what the ocean is holding on the amount of dogfish, and that's what based my decision. This female-male distribution and unappropriate balance, in Paul Rago's words, has created the broke-back mountain of the ocean if you're a dogfish. You know, and that's not really a healthy situation either. But the system, this question came up when I was supporting the $8 million, how I could do that and in the best interest of the resource. And my response was something along the lines of Dave Gaethel's comments that I think it is the appropriate response for the resource, all the resources, not just dogfish. That's the difference. So maybe at that particular point I was using an ecosystem approach to support my support of the £8 million, Mr. Chairman, but it was it deemed appropriate at that time because it's certainly having an effect on other species. But the bottom line is everything that Dr. Rago has presented to us for however long it's been coming to us means that, demonstrates that anything less than 10 or 12 million pounds will have absolutely no effect in the long-time rebuilding of this resource. And this was an opportunity to come away from the 4 million, and that's why Mid-Atlantic chose the 8. And we also recognize that ASMFC, we basically assumed that ASMFC was going to do about what it did, which automatically puts us in a situation of what Ms. Kirkle just stated, and we were well aware of that. But it still felt like the right thing to do at the time. So that's the reason we supported the $8 million, Mr. Chairman.
Rip. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe we have arrived at a point where we're beating a dead dog. Therefore, I move the question.
All those in favor, please raise your hand. Twelve opposed. Four opposed. Motion carries 12 to 4. Frank.
Okay, thank you. Next motion, committee motion, that the trip limit for harvest period 1 and harvest period 2 be 3,000 pounds or a level consistent with that specified by ASMFC. The specific trip limit will be for 1 year only. That was the committee motion. The Mid-Atlantic Council did not adopt that. The Mid-Atlantic Council voted for a 600-pound trip limit in both periods for 1 year only.
Okay, discussion. David?
So which motion are we voting on? Are we voting on the original motion or the substitute motion?
Well, it'd be the original motion. The other one, we have to vote on the first one. Mid-Atlantic said the Mid-Atlantic did not approve that, so if we would have two different.
It came out of the committee.
Came out of the committee.
And it goes to both councils. Frank's just letting us know what the Mid-Atlantic did with it. Once it came out of committee and got to their council, they went in a different direction.
Okay. Well, I would speak against the 3,000 pounds and for the 600 because I think we need a constant harvest strategy. We don't need this fishery shutting down after 3 or 4 weeks and then just tossing back an extra 600 pounds on top of the rest of them you toss back. You know, bringing in something is better than tossing back everything. That's a little bit less waste. And there are some trips that you know, don't get much over 600. I think 3,000 becomes a directed fishery. I would urge the states to have a constant harvest strategy that looks at a number that will keep this open year-round so that we try to waste a little bit less of the product. I'm not sure 600 is the right number. I don't know what it is, but I think 3,000 is too high.
Lori?
Just to clarify this motion, the ASMFC met last week, I believe, and did vote for a 3,000-pound trip limit.
Pat?
Well, again, I'm opposed to the motion. Obviously, the most critical thing in terms of trying to avoid targeting of females is setting the trip limit. And 3,000 pounds allows for a directed fishery and allows for targeting of females. Unfortunately, since the ASMFC has gone with the 3,000 pounds, what you're going to have is those boats with state water permits fishing in state waters are going to be allowed to catch the 3,000 pounds, and likely the federal fishery will be closed. So it penalizes those boats that fish mostly in the federal fishery. So I think it's unfortunate where the commission has gone, but regardless, I support the 600-pound trip limit.
Anyone else on the council? Doug.
Help me out. What happens if we vote for 3,000 and the Mid-Atlantic Council has voted for 600? What's the ramifications on the process?
I'll bet PAC goes with 4 million and 600. Anyone else on the council? Go to the audience. John Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Williamson for Ocean Conservancy. I'll just say Joe Brancaleone was a good council chairman, but I never dreamed when he appointed me to the first Dogfish Committee to work on crafting the original Dogfish Plan that I'd still be defending that plan 10 years later. And I'll just say that very disappointed in the vote that just happened. The plan as originally was crafted was a good plan if we would just let it work. And I'll just remind people that the original intent of the plan was that in 20 years from now, we'll have a stable stock structure that will be actually fewer number of fish in the ocean and a greater number of them females. And that's the sole elements of the plan. The Ocean Conservancy is grateful to hear that the service is going to rally around a 4 million pound status quo quota, and we feel that there is nothing in the stock status report that warrants overreacting to the recent data points and actually change the assumptions around the plan. And I think it's critical to focus on what Dr. Weinberger has put before us, and that is that the growth in the female biomass that we're experiencing now is temporary. We're going to see it increase for another couple of years, but then in 2011, we're going to see the results of the low recruitment that we've been experiencing over the last decade is going to those few females that have been produced over this last decade are going to start to recruit into the fishery, and we're going to find a very big notch in the of missing females in the population. The projections that are in the documents are demonstrating growth in future years, that we grow, the potential to grow our way out of that decline, assumes a recruitment rate that we haven't seen and are likely not to see. So it's critical that we understand that we may be rebuilding dogfish for a long time into the future, depending on the actions that are taken this year. Implications of miscalculation in this plan will be felt long term, and there's not enough value in that dogfish quota to represent compromising fisheries well into the next three decades. I'm supposed to be speaking to this particular motion. We Ocean Conservancy certainly does not support a 3,000-pound trip limit. We heard earlier today that the trawl survey has identified large bodies of female dogfish in the western Gulf of Maine and in Massachusetts Bay, where they're very much exposed to the small boat fishing effort in that area, and particularly small boat gillnetters. And anybody who thinks that a 3,000-pound trip limit is going to be solely converting bycatch to landings has got to think again. It will trigger a very substantial directed fishery on just the very component of the resource that we want to be protecting. So a 600-pound trip limit would be much more appropriate, and we urge the council to amend or substitute this motion with a 600-pound strip on it. Thank you.
Jeff Pike.
Thank you. My name is Jeff Pike. I'm here today on behalf of the Georges Bank cod hook sector. I just wanted to speak in favor of the motion and support Dr. Pierce's comments. It's important to note that the hook sector has not harvested anywhere close to 50% of their cod allocation since the inception. And part of that clearly is due to the poor condition of the stock. But a great deal of that relates to dogfish and the inability of our fishermen to get the hooks to the bottom before they're being hijacked by doggies. So the notion that the dogs, you know, we need to rebuild them, it's unclear to us how that concept is going to relate to us being able to get our hooks to the bottom and catch the cod. I don't think that a 600-pound or 3,000-pound trip limit is, frankly, going to change any fishing behavior of our fishermen. If we get into dogfish, we get into dogfish, thousands and thousands of pounds. So whether we can land 600 or land 3,000, just want to assure you that's not going to change our behavior, because when you get dogged, as you know, you get dogged. We had a fellow in the fixed-gear sector 3 weeks ago harvested 15,000 pounds of dogs, had to discard them all. Whether he could bring in 3,000 or 600 pounds, it doesn't matter. He's not going to change his fishing behavior. He's just going to discard dogs. So I think the important thing is to understand that the trip limit is not going to change the behavior, as some have suggested, of the full-time fishermen that are going after groundfish. It just isn't enough. And if it's a 3,000-pound trip limit, we'll hit the 4 million or 6 million or 8 million, and the fish will be closed. But our guys are still going to go out fishing. They're still going to discard, and you're still going to have that fishing mortality. So I hope that you support the motion, but also that you look at the rebuilding targets. That's important to us. Thank you.
Mr. Barndollar.
Oh, thank you. Okay. We're a dogfish processor in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, with our dogfish processing plants in New Bedford, Massachusetts. I had a couple of questions, mainly about the discard number. The gentleman was sitting here. The 8 million pounds that comes up on the screen, I'm just curious as to how that relates historically to discards if they're tabulated 1980, 1990, and 2000, and where that number comes from. It seems like an awfully high number to me relative to the 10 million pounds or 10.4 million pounds of the prosecuted fishery. If that data is available, it would be interesting to look at. We, C-Trade, there's only really three processors, as you probably know now, in the East Coast, and that's our company, AML Fisheries, and a Spanish-owned company called Zeus Fisheries in Gloucester. And they all support the motion for a directed fishery, I'm sure, from the selfish point of view of keeping the harvest open and being able to work with primarily gillnet for inshore fishermen. And thank God for the work with Paul Rigo and certainly David and his group to come up with threshold numbers that seem to make sense. Why the U.S. government and PASS Group want to limit this to 4 million pounds, I understand the recruitment issue, but the fisheries rebuilding. Our own government seems to be spending more time, I think, working with environmentalists in Europe, and particularly Germany, to close up the fishery rather than maintain a viable fishery, well-managed, that would lend itself, hopefully in the future, to MSC certification, which we've been trying to do, and working with industry. The Shark Attack Group and other groups in Europe, as you may know, put a motion before CITES this summer, this fall's vote, July, I believe it was, and the Wildlife Service is the U.S. representative attending those meetings. And that vote failed thanks to a coalition of the Canadians and some other European members, but it was close. Our own government, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, voted to sustain the listing of dogfish under either Appendix 1 or 2 and CITES, so you put dogfish on a par with rhino horn and elephant tusks and other endangered other. Hence, there would be no fishery. I don't care whether it's limited under Appendix 1 or 2, we wouldn't be there. We also wouldn't be there if there was a 600-pound undirected fishery, bycatch fishery in this case. Louis from AML just told me this morning he had 2,000 pounds of dogs brought to his door today under federal water landings, and I had to refuse him for confusion over what those limits were, what had been caught, and whether it was a federal or state permit. So we need consistency from the ASMC, 8 million pounds. I don't care if it's 6 million or 8, but we need a directed fishery. It could be 2,000 pounds. It could be 3,000 pounds. But to have this battling between the state and the federal agency doesn't do any good to anybody. It doesn't help the boats. It doesn't help us. There won't be any fishery. The Germans smoker fishery for the belly flaps, which is an essential part of the export products, is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, partly because their own environmentalist groups, but partly confusion in this country as to what the industry represents, how it's being managed, and what's being said by the federal government versus what's being said by the councils. So I'm furious over the lack of honesty. If you don't believe in your own fisheries and your own science, then what are you representing? So we support the motion. I really don't want to sit here any longer because I'll really get caught into a tirade. But I've been in the business since 1989, 1990 in Portland, Maine, where we used to process 60 million pounds as an industry with 212 processes, and now we're down to 3. And you want to shut us down and close the door. So thank you very much.
Back to the council. Ready for the question? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Ten. Opposed. Six. Opposed. The motion carries 10-6. Frank?
Okay. Next, the council initiate Framework Action 2 to address the issue with spiny dogfish biological reference points, primarily the biomass target. And that was approved by the council as well.
Any need to discuss this? Any questions?
If I could just point out, you don't need to make a motion on this if you want to support that's great. But this would not constitute in the framework process. There need to be two meetings of each one. The motion to initiate framework one at the October Mid-Atlantic meeting didn't constitute meeting one for us. So in our annual work plan, we're looking at having it implemented in time for spec setting for next year. So there'd be a motion's not necessary, but I just want to give you a little info on our when we're going to have it done.
Do you have a target date for completion of this action?
Yeah, I think in June of we're going to have our first. Our first meeting at our June 2000 in June 2008, and our approval to submit in October. So the your meetings would be the following in July and November.
Okay. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, Jim, would you explain why the Mid-Atlantic Council decided to have two framework actions, Action 2 and Action 3? It would seem to me that, again, what do I know? I mean, you're the guy who's going to do the work, that you could allow for the allocation of quota for male fisheries as part of the next framework action, since it seems like that's still a ways away. Yeah. So what was the rationale for two separate actions?
It was just a matter of prioritization, and since that, and frankly, I was, well, I don't want to reveal too much, but I was a little surprised. I thought we would have framework two done more quickly because we're going to follow the model that we've for framework seven, summer flounder, scuffing black sea bass, and it being the guinea pig or whatever, you know, it should be a very quick process to get that through. So we knew that would go through quickly. We think that that framework three or amendment one, whichever it turns out to be, is likely to take longer. So there was that reason. And also the uncertainty as to whether we could establish a male only or a male quota, a male spiny dogfish quota through framework or amendment was unknown at the time.
Okay, anything else on this motion? We don't have to take it, but let's just go through it. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, unanimous. Frank, you got one more in the hopper?
Yes, one more. That the council initiate framework action three or amendment number one to allow for the allocation of quota in the male fishery. And if I can, this is a little bit different than past actions or suggestions that it be a male-only fishery. This was suggested that some of the quota could be used for males, which may was the interpretation of the council. It was understood that if it's a 6-million-pound quota for females, you may lose some of that. It may go down to 4 million, and you may have a male-only fishery. I'm just picking out numbers, but it was understood that it may go take away from the other quota.
Committee motion discussion. Dr. Pierce.
Related to the motion, I just wanted to call the council's attention to Figure 5 in the spiny dogfish update. To the credit of the assessment scientists who did this work, they did note in the figure legend the scale change for 2006 and 2007, but frankly, when you look at figures like this, you see the black space, and that's what gets you. You don't really look at the legend itself. Just note that the abundance of the males, 2006 and 07, that's on a different scale as compared to the abundance amounts, the scales for all of the dogfish biomass going up to the top of the page. So there is a much, much larger biomass of males than you would think from an initial look-see at this figure.
Thanks for pointing that out. Anyone else? Okay, ready for the question. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. 1 in opposition. 12-1, the motion carries. Frank, do you have anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay. That concludes our dogfish business for today. Take a 10-minute break, and when we come back, we'll go into research steering.